Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks to Matt Miller, Patrick Royce, Patrick Manley, and Hub Arkish. It's rare that Patrick Manley isn't the finest Patrick on our show.
Very rare.
Day.
Very rare.
But today he was eclipsed by the genius of Patrick Royce. Thanks to Brian Gertz for having the video feed, Joe Ostrowski for the updates, the producers Zawoski, Camp, and Diaz. Tomorrow, we've got all kinds of Friday fun for you. Not Friday fun, necessarily, but Friday. We should drag one of those out, though.
We could do a fung.
Well, we didn't have time to promote it today. We need more.
We could do a fung in the future. Yes, future fung.
At some point.
Friday fung.
We definitely should do that. But it's the McNeil and Parkins Show. Mac is off today. Matt Spiegel is on his way in to join Danny Parkins, who is with us now.
That's correct. Matt Spiegel had a previous daytime engagement, but we've been in communication all morning. So he should be here. Yeah, probably about 15 minutes or so. So he'll come in for the first segment, hopefully after transition. But
I know he's celebrating the advent of car fridge weather. I know.
I saw that on Twitter. Yeah.
I always think of him on these days like this when the weather turns cold. But soon it's going to be. They're saying the 20s tomorrow night or tonight.
It's too cold. It's too cold, too fast.
Come on.
It's way too cold.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Coach Collins and Northwestern Basketball return to the new Welsh Ryan Arena on November 2nd. Season tickets on sale at NUSports.com.
How's it going, guys? You guys loved the Jimmy Butler story.
Oh, you spent a lot of time on the Jimmy Butler story.
It's
fantastic.
What are you doing?
What are you trying to accomplish?
He's trying to remind everyone that he's better than everyone on the Timberwolves and make it untenable for them so he gets traded, right?
But then that's what he's trying to do.
Maybe.
That's the objective.
He's got efforts directed in other directions, though. You know, it's not the only thing he's accomplishing at this point, which to me implies that he's just out there either scorching earth and not caring or just out for himself. And it sounds like it could be both. Honestly, it really could be both.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler is kind of crazy, and it's what's made him $200+ million in his life, and it's also what makes him an a-hole. I said yesterday on the show that he's got a lot of that Kobe gene in him, where like Kobe was like, this is the only way I know how to lead. I'm going to just ride you in practice. You're going to hate me, but everybody follow me. And by playing up to my level, I'll make you better. But the difference is Kobe was the best player in the world, and Jimmy Butler's like the 15th best player in the world. And that difference between 15 and 1 is you're just a jerk on a 45-win team.
But it's not respected. His act, this performance, isn't respected by his co-players, by guys in the league, by teammates. It's just not.
How do you
know? It doesn't have the same import because of the way players are reacting to it.
Oh, just on Twitter.
Because of the way just everybody's reacting to it.
Oh, but some guys in the league love it.
Do they like the action, or do they actually respect the player and guy performing this? Because I don't think it's both. It doesn't seem to me that anybody's respecting this the same way that a Michael outburst or performance would have been respected, or Kobe, or anybody, really. Anybody of those top echelon guys. I don't think this is getting any of that respect.
I have no idea. I can't speak for the entire league. Yeah, definitely. A lot of people are laughing at it. If you believe Woj, and I know you said he was carrying water for Jimmy earlier.
It seemed like it. The breathlessness. And then reporting that
He dropped the mic.
It inspired some of his teammates. Just chill out a little bit.
Yeah, but we'll see. You don't think it's possible that Taj Gibson loved it? I do.
Taj might be one guy.
How does a coach allow it?
But I'm just I think it's absolutely possible that some guys on that team resonate more with Jimmy Butler than Andrew Wiggins.
I don't know that a lot of people resonate with Andrew Wiggins is kind of the thing.
But across the league,
you're getting side eyes on Twitter. This league plays all of its business out in public.
Which is why it's great.
It really is. and I think generally speaking, I think really the majority of reaction to this has been the side eye emoji to Jimmy Butler. That's what's gone on.
I guess. I mean, I'm with you. Like, I'm glad it's not here, but I think that there are plenty of players that respect his work ethic and his grind. And I still feel today, like I felt yesterday, that he'll get a ton of money and there will be multiple teams lining up to give it to him.
Another topic. Well, he might be, but it's a question of what he wants to be. He wants to go just spend the last 5 years of his career as an empty calorie scorer on a bad team. Then go ahead, do that. Nobody cares.
But you don't see any way that LeBron wants him to join him in L.A.?
We talked about that a little bit, and that at first blush, both of us were, I don't think he wants anything to do with that.
But he's collecting
that.
Look
at the rest of the roster he's looked at.
LeBron has found my knucklehead market inequity. I think he's sort of looking
at this. Like weed guys in the NFL?
Yes, yeah, same thing. I've always had a soft spot for NBA knuckleheads. And I have my Steven Jacksons. And
Sheed?
Sheed's
Who
my guy.
Didn't love Sheed?
Yeah, everybody loves Sheed. But I think LeBron is realizing I'm good enough at basketball that I can collect all of these talented knuckleheads and get value out of them that others can't. And it's a really cool bet that he's making.
100%.
Now, did you see the essay that Albert Bermejo wrote? He writes for Deadspin and other places. Is it really one of the smartest people writing about sports today?
Okay, I did not.
It was over the weekend, and he wrote a long piece about Kobe, why isn't Kobe Bryant a pariah already? That instead of being on Hollywood red carpets and being involved in all of these, what is it, the energy drink or whatever he's investing in, he goes back through the details of the rape charge. He goes back through what has not been disputed, back through for what he has apologized for the settlements, and saying in today's climate, when the retroactive criticism and retroactive shunning of people for criminal behavior or close to criminal behavior, what we've seen in entertainment and politics and sports on all levels, for some reason, Kobe Bryant has completely escaped it.
I would have to read the piece. Do you think then that he should be a pariah?
He makes a pretty good case. He makes a pretty good case for it being a complete hole in everything else that we've been doing. Everything else, how much the climate has changed. He has skated.
That's interesting, because I think that what's happened in a lot of ways has been new allegations, right? Like things that we did not know has been dealt with swiftly and harshly. But there has not, to me, been some sort of like, if you did something back in the day and were perceived to have paid your debt to society, whether it be through the legal system or otherwise, it doesn't feel like there's been that huge rush to judgment and to make them a pariah for allegations or events that occurred in the 2000s or the 90s or the 80s or the 70s or however far back you want to go.
You're saying it might be as simple as
it's not new.
Time served. You know, already went through the public excoriation
of an
embarrassment and nobody needs to go after him again.
It's not about a need to go after him again. It's just that there are so many other targets that are new. Like the Harvey Weinstein stuff was new. We didn't know about it. The Louis C.K. stuff was new. We didn't know about
it. Leslie Moonves. So
to me, like just at first blush, it's like, man, that Kobe thing was ugly and public and it was dealt with in a judicial system and with his wife. So I guess I don't really know the answer.
Well,
Albert
Bermejo got mad apparently after reading something, and the Deadspin headline was "Why the F isn't Kobe Bryant a pariah yet?" And he said, "Did you hear Kobe Bryant's a body care guru now, partnering with a pair of business bros and a smattering of pro athletes, including MVP James Harden? He's launching a line of beauty products for athletes and men who want to pretend they're athletes." It never mentions in this article that he quotes here. He's also an accused rapist who avoided a criminal trial verdict by bullying his accuser into silence.
Right.
Maybe they ran out of column inches. Maybe so did ESPN and Sports Illustrated and everybody else, too. Remember that bleep? The world seems to have forgotten along the way to facilitating Bryant's total public rehabilitation. And then he goes through the details, goes through his apologies, goes through everything that was involved, why she ended up settling and how that all happened, and talks about the NBA being this progressive league and all of their Adam Silver's progressive values. He said that this is the league that people who get queasy about the grossness of big sports can enjoy. And then he says that he goes through profit motive and why exactly this is happening. And it's a fascinating breakdown of human behavior regarding Bryant in a way that's different than around everybody else.
Well, I guess it comes back to, like, do you believe that he should be able to work and earn again after what he did? I mean, because I am someone who thinks he should.
Given it seems that the thesis here is that given an apology, that yes, he should, or given some sort of actions or behaviors that let us know that he understands what he did is wrong. I haven't read the piece either, but, you know, going through it, there's an atonement maybe that needs to be reached before he's willing to go on and earn the living.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I haven't read the full piece of it, but it feels...
It just caught my eye. It really made me think, because when you actually look at the facts of that case through today's lens...
Right.
It would have been completely...
Completely different, and the response would have been completely different, and the, oh, it's over, and whatever, that just happened kind of feeling probably wouldn't have existed today in a way that it did then.
I agree, but I mean, we can do that with so many examples, right? I mean, Mike Tyson went to prison for rape and then was a movie star in The Hangover. A convicted rapist. And then he has a one-man play.
Right.
And, you know, so, like, we do this. We believe in rehabilitation in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm not saying that you have to like Kobe. And I'm not saying that you have to support his work or buy his energy drink. And if, like, that's the stance that any person in a free market wants to choose, like, absolutely fine, go ahead. But I don't know that the answer here is every past awful transgression needs to be relitigated through a 2018 lens. That doesn't strike me as
maybe the better question then is, what is rehabilitation? Obviously that answer is going to be different for each and every individual and situation and purpose, but maybe that's the more important question to ask, is how are we supposed to, how does one get back from where you were?
And what constitutes back? What are you entitled to then? Are you entitled to your energy drinks and your Academy Awards and everything else with no mention?
Well, I mean,
of
you're not entitled to anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's just how the marketplace works, right?
Right. You're entitled to what you're able to create. You know, you're entitled to what people will buy from you. It's a capitalist society.
And I understand if people are like, man, Kobe was celebrated way too much when he retired, and he's not a good person. And like, then don't tune into the celebration. Like, that was the Lakers' choice, and Lakers fans, we've just seen this from sports. I'm done being surprised by sports fans celebrating their sports heroes. Like, you don't have to like it. I don't like it. It makes all of us hypocrites in some ways, but it's the reality, right? It's what we do. I'll ask you guys this. If you took us here, if you were at the Comedy Cellar when Louis C.K. showed up for the unannounced set, are you walking out? I'm not.
Honest to God, yeah. I probably am. But that's...
I like to think that I would.
Okay.
Because I like to imagine that I would want to do the right thing in that regard. Or, I mean, is that one place where they take all the phones? Or would you want to just document it?
They do not take the phones. Comedy Cellar
doesn't.
Yeah, great venue.
But some places do. Some places where comedians workshop stuff, they use get a surround of your phone.
Yeah,
or they use a blocking device.
It's the Yonder cases, and comedy shows almost all of them do now. And I'm not, but I guess what I'm saying is, I wouldn't look at staying at viewing his performance as
endorsing his behavior,
as an endorsement of behavior.
Of course not. Is it? I didn't pay him.
I mean, you're going through a kind of an interesting circumstance here, because you didn't know he was coming in.
Correct.
It's a surprise visit. It's all that stuff.
Yeah, I guess, audience at that point. He's just, you're already there.
You got a table in the middle of the room.
It's easy for me to answer, because I don't really care for Louis C.K. that much anyway.
Okay, see, I had paid to go to
his
specials
to a
in the
show.
Past.
Yeah. Friends wanted to go. Like, hey, do you want to grab this ticket? I went. I get that he's talented and funny, and I had a great time at the show, but...
I guess what I'm saying is, I don't see that as tacit approval for everything he's done in his past, because I like watching Mike Tyson knockout videos on YouTube.
I think that makes complete sense.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
You know, right. Do I have to pretend that I didn't enjoy Woody Allen movies and still have top of mind for references for all the movies for all those many years?
Lethal Weapon 1 is incredible. And I will watch it if it's on HBO. That doesn't mean that I align with Mel Gibson.
I watch two every time also.
Okay, and I told you I liked four.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, are we afraid to admit that it's complicated?
Well, here's
in 2018? That doesn't mean that we approve of everything that they do.
Here's another level of complication to keep in mind when we're talking about all kinds of things in the news. That's just what's public. That's based on what's public, not what any of us may know about other things that have happened that did happen that are not public. So about a lot of people.
Whomever happens to be
whomever.
Well, sure. And what we don't know.
That's another thing. Right,
you know
right.
what I mean? Like this like presupposition.
I didn't even go there.
But that's to me where you have to go. If you want to be intellectually honest about it, like if you're like, I will only root for the moral, the people who agree with me morally. Okay. Good luck. Get ready to be disappointed.
Right. I mean,
so what are we doing?
You operate under the assumption that everyone's a dirtbag and you throw all your morals underneath a rug or something.
I don't operate in either direction. I operate as I enjoy your comedy. I enjoy your basketball. I enjoy your pitching. I enjoy your footballing. I enjoy your acting. I enjoy your music. That's why I'm here. Now, you could say that that is privileged or head in the sand or whatever, and you can say that. But, I mean, come on. You are talking about how much bad there is in the world. There's too much, like, overtly bad in the world for me to be terrified around all corners of, like,
this guy does something stupid tomorrow night?
Come on. Like, I got to be able to get away and laugh for 90 minutes at a Chappelle show.
Right. I think that's different than when you're asking a question, should somebody get a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court?
Of course.
It's a different thing to say, should you watch the guy shoot a basketball? Right.
100%. And people are like, man, like, should Louis C.K. be able to come back? Like, yes. If there's a market for it, if people are willing to pay him to do his work. Now, would I like there to be more of an apology? Do I know how long the period of time is? Is what he did abhorrent? I feel like all of those answers are obvious. But, like, should the man be able to work again? If people are willing to pay him, I would say yes. Am I wrong there?
No, I think that's the way you operate.
Right?
I think that's the way we operate.
I don't know how we got here, but I feel like there have been – it's been a weird shift in this conversation that it's almost as if the burden is on us as the consumer. That's like – because I think that he was funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess what's making me slightly uncomfortable about the line of questioning here is stand for something. You know what I mean? Like, just don't – you can't abdicate all of your responsibilities and just say, well, I just want these 2 hours. Or, well, I just want to watch this one inning of relief work. Like, stand for something. And then pick – I'm not saying you're not. Pick something that you choose to stand for and then do it. But there comes a point where – We seem far too able to just say, well, I just want to watch the guy pitch, or I just want to watch the guy do stand-up comedy, or I just want to watch the guy lord over a Supreme Court, or whatever it happens to be.
That's not a spectator sport.
Yeah, right. You don't watch SCOTUS?
That's so different, though.
That's what I'm saying. That's the point.
At some point. There's got to be something that defines you, I think. Like, if there was a bakery on the corner that they were avowed overt Nazis.
Obviously.
But they made awesome peanut butter cookies.
Correct.
You're going to probably not get your peanut butter cookies there, even though they're definitively the best peanut butter cookies there are.
Of course.
You're going to get a lesser peanut butter cookie.
Of course.
Right.
I agree with that completely.
It happened to me with Barilla pasta. I wasn't buying Barilla because Guido Barilla went on that rant about how he didn't want LGBT people eating his pasta. He did. It's not for everybody. It's only for people.
And sure.
So, and it was really bad. And I hated it because I really missed it. And
cabinets full of burrito.
It was so much better than other pastas.
But I guess
I didn't want to pay all that money for DiCecco. And then finally, he gave some mealy mouthed apology, and I said, "That's good enough."
Right back in it.
And I guess what I want.
That's all I needed, Guido.
I just want the acknowledgement that we're all compromising that in the name of entertainment somewhere.
So whether we know it or not,
I don't think anybody can stand up against it.
Whether we know it or not, so I don't judge like the consumer for where their line of morality is on this. When people are like, you have to have gotten and stood up at the Comedy Cellar when Louis C.K. walked in. No.
I actually did not. I have no idea if any of the mutual funds in which I'm invested own gun stocks.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I have no idea.
Half
of the college fund could be in Smith & Wesson, and I wouldn't know it. Right?
Exactly. So to me, that's not... Like, of course, live your life with a moral code and volunteer and donate to charity and use the platform for good and all of those things. But I don't feel that I need to, you know, if I want a chicken sandwich and the only chicken sandwich shop open is Chick-fil-A on a Thursday, I'm going to eat Chick-fil-A.
It's a good chicken sandwich.
You know what I mean? Like, for me.
And he loves Chick-fil-A.
But someone could judge you, Connor. Come on. You're not.
Of course. I do every morning.
I judge myself.
I judge him every time he brings it.
I usually look in there and say, I don't care for your policies. And I'll eat the chicken.
I give stand for something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Stand for something.
But not Chick-fil-A.
A complete abdication of all responsibility isn't the way to go either.
Right.
I mean, you can't just live your life as neutral gray the entire time.
What he's
time.
Saying is choose your hypocrisies.
Okay.
And choose ones that matter. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But and ones that matter, other people would say that one really matters. Right?
I think some would, yes.
So
absolutely true.
So you see what I'm saying? And so like that's
of course I see what you're saying. I think the complete abdication of responsibility here, whether it's entertainment or not, is a little short-sighted too.
It's not about complete abdication. It's just an acknowledgement that there is like pointing out the flaw in the person that didn't do the bad thing to me is just that doesn't solve anything, and it leads to this gotcha society that we're in that, to me, is it's deflecting of the actual issues or the bad stuff that goes on.
I guess on the other side of that is if it's not a gotcha society, then it's a pointing out of flaws in logic, and then we all get to rationally arrive at a decision that's better off for everybody.
I like the mutual fund example that none of us really know.
Of course none of us know.
Right? None of us know.
Nor do we have the option to pick, really.
Right. That's
what
I'm saying.
You get three buckets to pick from. That's it. All of them have guns.
The only people who are actually looking at those things are student journalists at Ivy League schools that want their schools to divest of certain countries or businesses for their endowment, right?
It's ridiculous.
If they did that for me, they can come out and give me a little rundown, give me a check, and I'll respond.
Yeah, sure. If you shine a light on it and I'm like, oh, I don't want to be a part of that, then sure. But man, I don't know. Do we accomplish anything here?
No.
Okay, good.
Are we supposed to? Is that our
job?
No, not my job.
No. Yeah, exactly. Talk about abdicating responsibility.
What's on your list today? I see Spiegel has arrived. He is in the building.
Good.
Yeah,
Elvis I was just stalling time until he got here.
Oh.
Will Perdue at 2:40 to tell some Tech's winner stories. Brent Musburger at 3 o'clock. Bobby Portis and I interacted on Twitter today.
Excellent.
Because he has these amazing Crazy Eyes t-shirts. And so we're going to talk about those t-shirts and other Bulls things, I assume. Dave Wanstead in studio at 4 o'clock. Paul Charchian at 4:40.
Wow.
It's a show.
That's a lot of sports talking.
A hell of a show.
Go get them.
Thanks, guys.